This is the Australia Report with Vic Aladev. Good day, mate.
Vic Aladev, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. I'm very well, thank you. Nice to hear from you.
All right, so a lot to talk about. Interesting, we just covered a story. It's not one of the ones we wanted to chat about, but that an incredible amount of meth, liquid meth, was stopped on the way to Australia as it was going via Hong Kong. It was an incredible, incredible bust that would have made a significant difference to the Australian drug market. So that was actually very good news that this was stopped coming from Mexico.
Indeed, I'm not across the detail of the story, but sadly, it's, I guess, in part as a function of the place on the world map where Australia is located. Pretty often, all too often, we hear about stories about massive drug busts where the authorities are stopping these horrific quantities of drugs which people are trying to bring into the country. And then, as you say, you stop and think of the damage that this can do, the lives they can destroy.
Absolutely.
It's really just quite horrendous.
It is indeed. The court has ruled that a university lecturer should not have been sacked after he superimposed a swastika on an Israeli flag. Here we go.
Indeed. The senior lecturer, his name is Dr. Tim Anderson, and he worked at the University of Sydney, which is the oldest university in the country, for 30 years. From 1988 until being dismissed in 2019, so 31 years. And at the time he left, he was a senior lecturer in the Department of Political Economy. And he became quite a controversial identity on the campus over time. And for example, some of the statements he made, he once described a journalist as, quote, a traitor because of a story that the journalist had done on the Armenian genocide. He described U.S. Senator John McCain as a, quote, war criminal. Mm. And during a lecture on the Israel-Palestine conflict, he superimposed a swastika over an Israeli flag in a slideshow presentation to students about media coverage of the conflict. And in his background in previous years, he had been part of a delegation that had traveled to Syria in 2013, meeting with government figures, including President Assad himself. And in response to some of the above, the University of Sydney issued two warnings to him. This is going back 5 years. In 2017, again in 2018, issued warnings to him before dismissing him 3 years ago in February 2019. Dr. Anderson then went to the federal court, supported by the National Tertiary Education Union, initiating proceedings against the university. And he initially lost the lawsuit and then launched an appeal. And now we have the finding of this appeal where the full court of the federal court found academics were allowed to express, quote, even deeply offensive and insensitive views under the banner of intellectual freedom as long as they did not vilify, intimidate, or harass anyone. And
how is that not harassment? Well, yes,
that's a good question. And I'll come to that in a second. And the court said further that his comments were made under the protection of the intellectual freedom. And under the terms of his contract, he couldn't be fired for making it. And in fact, even the warnings which the university given should not have been made, said the court. And the university said it was, quote, disappointed by the decision. Remains deeply committed to intellectual freedom, however, which should be exercised responsibly. And the Jewish community, through the Executive Council of Australian Jury, has issued a strong response, saying it is incomprehensible how a graphic comparison of Israel to Nazi Germany, utilizing an anti-Jewish trope, can be characterized as an exercise of intellectual freedom.
Sure.
And the fact that the content was part of teaching materials in an accredited university course made it all the more disturbing. And they went on to quote the IRA working definition, which Australia has embraced on both sides of the aisle in the parliament, saying that, you know, no freedom is absolute, and this was an abuse, not an exercise of intellectual freedom, and hoping that the university will you know, give serious consideration to appealing the decision. So pretty disturbing, and particularly the point that you just made, that this country has embraced the IRA definition, working definition of anti-Semitism, which exactly is what this is about, comparing Israel to Nazi Germany.
Absolutely. Fallout continues from Australia reversing its recognition of West Jerusalem as the capital of Israel.
So, yes, so this was inevitable, and there were hours of, in the federal parliament, just a few days ago, hours of debate from with MPs on both sides of the aisle speaking to this, and people in members of parliament on the opposition side, which is now the Liberal Party, saying that this was an appalling situation. It was policy made on the run, and plus, you know, mentioning the fact that that the reversal of the decision was announced on Simchat Torah when the Jewish community and Israeli embassy couldn't respond, etc. And then the government, which is the Labour Party, saying, you know, firing back and saying, hold on, guys, you made policy on the run a few days before the by-election in 2018 when the former Prime Minister's seat of Wentworth was up for grabs, and you announced that Australia will recognise West Jerusalem and might even move the embassy to West Jerusalem as well, the Australian embassy. And so both sides essentially trotting out the same mantras. And the Prime Minister himself, also in the Parliament, has, you know, said Australia will remain a steadfast friend of Israel, but the move to recognize Jerusalem, West Jerusalem, was a gesture, and what we need is substance, not gestures, etc. And Julian Lisa, who's a proudly identifying member of the Jewish community, who's shadow attorney general, he described the decision to reverse recognition as, quote, a shambolic piece of foreign policy. And he said, and there's quite a telling quote, he says, you know you're making bad public policy when the endorsement comes from listed criminal terrorist organizations, and cited the fact that it had been welcomed by Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad. So that was quite a telling response from Julian Lisa.
Unbelievable.
So inevitably, yeah, the fallout has continued. It'll no doubt abate now that it's sort of run its course, as it were. But and as we mentioned last week, Yair Lapid himself, you know, said that he hopes other Australian policies are made with deeper consideration than this one seems to have been.
Absolutely. It'll be interesting to see where this ultimately goes. And then finally, 700 Greeks and Jews turned out for the Ballad of Mauthausen. Tell us about this. You certainly gave us the background to it.
That's right. So we flagged this last week, and it was such an incredibly moving, poignant, powerful, and important event. And essentially, it was... there were 700 people turned out at a major theatre at the University of New South Wales, and approximately 50% audience Jewish, 50% Greek. And the occasion was the Sydney Jewish Choir and the Australian Greek Choir coming together to perform the Ballad of Mauthausen, which is this stirring piece of music, the music written by Theodorakis, who's famous for writing the music for Zorba the Greek, and putting to music poem written by a Greek prisoner at the Nazi camp of Mauthausen who fell in love with a Jewish woman. His name was Janina Rimkut, who was also a prisoner at Mauthausen. And Campanellis, the Greek prisoner, wrote about their love, wrote about the horrors of the camp and the Holocaust, and then that was put to music by Theodorakis. And so what we had on Sunday night here, two nights ago, was the two communities, Greek and Jewish, coming together in the spirit of shared humanity, with the backdrop of the Holocaust, and in full disclosure, I was the MC for the evening, and gave historical context about the Holocaust as it impacted the Jews of Greece, which included members of the South African Jewish community from Rhodes Island, and obviously spoke about that, about the Saloniki, about Athens, etc. And so it was a very meaningful, powerful evening. People were in tears, and you had the, you know, rabbis, the Greek Archbishop, Consuls General. So it was just a really moving evening in terms of Jewish, Greek intercultural coming together.
These events are absolutely wonderful. And well done to you. It certainly sounds absolutely amazing. It is 7 o'clock. Vic Aladef is the former CEO of the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies, chatting to us as he does every Tuesday at this time.